800-280-1335.
French officials have announced they have stopped a terrorist plot in their country. Here's the story.
French Interior Minister Bernard Cazeneuve says the suspects are five French citizens, a Moroccan and an Afghan. He suggested the arrests were linked to those of two suspects in June who were alleged to be plotting an attack on the Euro 2016 football tournament. Cazeneuve said the plot had intended to target a number of sites in France simultaneously. 418 people have been arrested across France this year in connection with terrorist plots. Elena Casas, Brussels.
Heavy snow continues to fall across the Northeast as a winter storm moves through the region. The biggest impacts will be felt in parts of New York State and New England, where some places have already seen a foot of snow or more since Saturday. At least 17,000 customers were without power in the Rochester area on Sunday night. The actor in the Broadway show Hamilton that called out Mike Pence from the stage says he's not going to apologize for it. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu. But you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shield yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Millions of Hillary Clinton supporters now coming together in something they call Pantsuit Nation. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The first ever Pantsuit Nation meeting was held in Tucson Sunday, and around 800 people attended. The group was formed a few days before the election and now has almost 4 million members nationwide. The meeting had mostly women in the audience, some wearing Nasty Woman t-shirts. The Arizona chapter of the Pantsuit Nation says they will strive to protect and support marginalized groups while furthering the progressive platform for a better, bluer state. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
You hear a lot of talk about adults with diabetes, but have you thought about your pets having diabetes? Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
November is National Diabetes Month, and Merck Animal Health is launching a campaign to educate pet owners about diabetes in their pets. The company says it affects millions of animals. Merck says diabetes has increased by nearly 80% in dogs and almost 20% in cats over the past decade. Those numbers expected to continue to rise. And Merck does make and market a drug called Vetsulin, which is the pet equivalent of insulin. This reporter, by the way, has a cat that indeed has diabetes and gets shots twice a day. You're welcome, Coy. And I'm Chris Barnes.
For more news and in-depth analysis of today's headlines, visit westernjournalism.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. Weather this afternoon, scattered flurries before 4 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 43. Breezy with a west wind around 20 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 45 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 29.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office. We we try to help people. We work out of our houses. We try to help people who have a mental health issue. And we do this in various ways. We do it by teaching classes. We do it by various support groups and so on and so forth. And everything we do is free. There is no charge for anything. And if you need to get a hold of us or you'd like some ask some questions or anything like that, you can dial 908-284-0500. And, you know, there we don't man the phone 24/7, but there is we will check it at least once or twice a day, and we will get back to you within 24 hours. We guarantee it. Today we are very privileged to have with us two ladies named Jan. You know, makes it easier. You know, don't have to forget their names. We have Jan Holmstrup. I'm going to say it wrong. Holmstrup?
That's good.
Wow. Okay. Who's the executive director of Raritan Valley Habitat for Humanity. And Jan Bishop, co-chair of the Faith-Based Relations Committee for Habitat for Humanity. Wow. That's a title and a half. Thank you, ladies, for being here. You know, on behalf of Tracy and myself, I want to welcome you. And I'd like to start out by asking, what is Raritan Valley Habitat for Humanity? What is that?
A caregiver.
It's Raritan Valley Habitat for Humanity is an affiliate of Habitat for Humanity International.
Okay.
About 14 affiliates, Larry, across the country. About 22 or 3 here in the state. Our affiliate covers Hunterdon and Somerset counties. So along with the other Habitat affiliates, we work to bring people together to build homes, communities, and hope here in Hunterdon and Somerset counties.
All right. You bring people try to get homes?
We actually, really our mission is to have the community build affordable homes for low and moderate income individuals. So we help facilitate that process.
Okay. And when did this, you say it's national. So when did it start in Hunterdon County?
We began 25 years ago. So this is a big year for us, 2016. The affiliate celebrated its 25th anniversary and also completed its 50th home.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. You know, we say this often in Hunterdon County because, you know, it's supposed to be third or fourth richest county in the country, and people are homeless, you know. People need homes, you know. And you just, they don't understand that there is homelessness here. There's people who have no homes. There's people who live in tents, you know. And I was talking to somebody just not too awful long ago, and I don't believe that. I said, well, you know where Walmart is? And behind that is the food pantry. Well, behind the food pantry, there's a railroad track. If you go on the other side of the railroad track, you'll see tents.
Mm-hmm.
You know why there's tents? Because they have no homes. That's where they're living. Mm-hmm. You know? And
yes.
So.
And actually, it's interesting you mentioned that, Larry, because the founders of our affiliate were local people living in our case, in Somerville.
Mm-hmm.
And what really incited them to get involved and to do something was the fact that they were seeing growing homelessness in Somerville.
Right.
And so they were really alarmed with that. But I'll also mention that in addition to addressing homelessness, we also are dealing with people who may be living in a home but renting a home, can't afford the rents. They may be working 2 and 3 jobs at, say, minimum wage. And with the fair market rent in Hunterdon and Somerset counties at $1,495 a month for a two-bedroom apartment, we have actually, you know, many people who are living crowded. Two and three families are living in an apartment in order for them to afford it. So it's the homelessness issue as well as just the working poor.
Sure.
And what the United Way talks about is ALICE, the asset limited, income constrained, employed population, which is growing. So that's really who we're dealing with.
And the other Jan Bishop. Yes. I understand you're a volunteer.
Yes, that's correct, Larry.
Okay. And it says co-chair of the Faith-Based Relations Committee. Okay, that's a mouthful. What does that mean?
Okay, and I'll give you a little bit more to put in the mouth for that. I began with Habitat about 3.5 years ago when I retired. I'm an architect and health planner, and I designed hospitals for 35, 40 years. And I had always said when I retired I wanted to give back to the community and work with Habitat. So I began working with our synagogue, which happens to be, we're part of the Delaware Valley Interfaith Council. Our synagogue is in New Hope, but we started building homes in Lambertville. And I organized volunteers from our synagogue to then work on all of these building projects. We built three homes recently in the last 3 years in Lambertville. And so it's a network of volunteers, recruiting volunteers, and working for a volunteer-based organization. Mm-hmm. And historically, Habitat was a Christian organization, is a Christian organization, but they are non-denominational. They do not discriminate based on any religion. And we work with all, churches of all faith and synagogues, mosques, temples, and bring people together throughout the community to help build for those in need in our community. And what we found most recently is, in addition to the, it used to be called church-based organizations, and when we recognized that it's all faiths that we're working on, changed the title to faith-based organizations, and we have begun to work with all of the community groups that are have common goals and missions. And I think that's where we met you, Larry, was at a Hunterdon fair. And so we are reaching out through community organizations. So we've actually expanded the title of our committee to faith-based and community relations. So we're trying to find as many ways to help people in the community. I would just like to note what Jan H. We go by Jan H. and Jan B. here. what Jan had commented on, what we see as a great need in the part of Hunterdon that we're involved with is exactly that: people who are living in one or two bedroom apartments with way too many people and paying much more money than for rent than they would for a home mortgage under the interest-free mortgages of Habitat. And one family that we just finished the last house for in Lambertville, they have three children. They came from Egypt. They wife came over first, and she was able to get out of the country based on religious persecution. And they have three beautiful daughters, and they lived in a one-bedroom apartment, five people, paying $1,500. And now in their rental home, in their new home that they own or paying a mortgage on, they're saving hundreds and hundreds of dollars every month that they now can put towards their children's education and other important needs. So it is a valuable thing to be able to give people the ability to own their own home and pay a fair market value for it.
Right.
So that's what our goal is.
And Lambertville has a large population of homeless or next to homeless. I know I won't say friends, but good acquaintance with Ronnie Todd Marino, who is in charge of Fisherman's Mark, and you know, and they have the food pantry and such.
The caregiver.
If you're hearing something in the background, we can't figure out what it is, and we've been trying to fix it, but we can't. So it's just some kind of quirk, so don't worry about it. Just keep listening to us. But no, it's, and it, you know, and Lambertville is just, again, Hunterdon County, and, you know, an area that has a large population that could use, you know, your help.
Right.
You know. Do you have, Jan, do you have a story or two, a short story or two about successes that you come across? Now, we just heard one.
Yes.
Yes,
we just heard one. And Jan touched on a very important point that I'd like to come back to when we talk about our program. But, yes, we have a number of successes, and one of which we're really particularly proud is our very first homeowner family who was awarded and selected and awarded this no-interest mortgage back in, well, it was about 23 years ago. It was the first home that our affiliate built. And they recently paid off their mortgage. And they it was so exciting. We had a gala back in October 6th to recognize our 25th anniversary. And part of the gala was honoring some people who had been particularly instrumental. And the founders of the organization were honored. There were 14 individuals from our area who were involved in starting the affiliate. And that's no small task. It's quite a lot involved in getting the approval through Habitat for Humanity International, as well as then getting the nonprofit status and all of those things that that are required to begin a nonprofit organization. But they were just, many of them were there, and as well as our first homeowner family.
Right.
So they came, and they were able to talk about how much this home has meant to them. And this was the first time I had the pleasure of meeting the parents. But I can tell you, to me, the gratitude was as fresh that night as it probably was 23 years ago. They could not say enough about what the home had done. They had escaped the Civil War in El Salvador and came here with two young sons and were able to have this home. And they worked on the home. That's an important thing. We're not giving homes away. These are the people who are awarded homes are qualified for a number of reasons. One of the things they need to be willing to do is to work with others in building the home. So they really have a part in this from the very beginning. So this couple, along with their sons, worked on building their home. And so 23 years later, they've paid off the mortgage, so they own the home completely on their own. And one of their sons is a police officer down in North Carolina, and the other is a teacher, I believe, in Mendham. So he's local.
That's cool.
And so they've just they're just so proud, and we're so proud. And I could see it in the founders' eyes and faces how proud they were of this couple and how much it meant to them just to see this wonderful outcome.
I got it. Yeah. Go ahead if you got a question,
Jan,
Tracy.
I know I've always thought about volunteering. Could you maybe walk us through what happens and how long
it takes
when a home gets built and how many people you need on your team and that kind of thing?
Sure. Well, there are hundreds and hundreds, Tracy. And we'll find a place for everybody, rest assured. But it generally will take usually about 9 to 12 months to build a home. And that's from, you know, clearing the property all the way through the dedication and getting all the permits and everything else. So we, because the community builds the home, we're not putting it up in the same manner that a builder might, where we're going to do this as quickly as possible and get it up. The important part is that it is the community, that the community has a hand in it, along with the homeowner, the homeowners and the homeowner families in building this. So generally it takes 9 to 12 months, and we use people at all stages of the process. So as soon as the land is cleared and excavated and we're ready to go, We will use volunteers throughout. So we schedule groups in advance. People can just go to our website or give us a call, and they'll get on a list. We have work teams from corporations in the area, civic groups like rotaries and things. Jan mentioned our faith-based congregations of all kinds, as well as individuals such as yourself. We have, for those who are working Monday through Friday, we schedule usually 3 out of 4 Saturdays we will have, and that they're generally comprised of individuals in the community who want to come out and help out. So we'll find room for everyone, and also no special skills are necessary. Mm-hmm. We have staff and other volunteers who will help train you in doing whatever it is that you would like to or whatever is needed that particular day.
Is there a minimum time commitment? Can you do it for 1 day, or do you need to commit to at least 3?
No, there's a caregiver. As little or as much as you have time or ability to give is very welcome and very needed. I did just want to add that we also are now getting Sunday builds scheduled for those whose faith, they practice their faith on Saturdays. So they like to have try to do builds on Sundays. So we are trying to accommodate everyone. I also just wanted to add that because a lot of people feel intimidated. Well, I don't know anything about building. I'd like to help, but I'm not really, that coordinated or knowledgeable. And we say anyone can participate. We had 75-year-old people in our congregation who wanted to participate. And we said, come, you push a broom to clean up or bring bagels and coffee and help feed the volunteers. But there's no task that goes unappreciated. And we also we work with Lowe's, who's one of our Habitat's corporate sponsors, and Lowe's does run workshops for different kinds of builds, for women's build and others, and where you can go to Lowe's and meet with other volunteers who are there, and they show you how to frame a wall, how to nail properly, how to use power tools, power saw or power drill. So there's lots of training, but I think that what I appreciate is at the heart of it are dedicated professionals who most of them are retired, but they're contractors. They were contractors in their professional lives. They were mechanical and electrical contractors, and they're what we call the faithful builders because they're faithfully there every week, and they get the things done and organized that volunteers can't do, but then they stand back, and they don't do it for you while the volunteers are there, but they make certain that you're doing it correctly and are excellent teachers and mentors to work with our volunteers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's a great team-building experience. It really is, because people can see at the end of the day they've accomplished, and you can see what you've accomplished, as well as often working alongside the homeowner family and really get to see who's going to benefit and get to know them. So it builds empathy and understanding, I think, also for many of us who can't imagine what it's like to be homeless or to live in a cramped, inadequate, maybe unsanitary place. You really get to understand the needs of our neighbors.
Well, I know that this Jan has said how she got involved in it, so I was curious how you got involved in it.
Well, I'm a staff member, so it's a job for me, and I just started about 6 months ago, and I learned of the opening and was very interested. The more and more I found out about Habitat, I'd heard about Habitat and had an idea what it was, but the more research I did, the more I was really interested in working here to support the mission and the vision. And our vision is a time when everyone in Hunterdon and Somerset counties has a decent place to live.
All right. Let me ask you, could you speak to the selection of families? What's the process for a family to get selected?
Mm-hmm. A caregiver.
Because you have so many. I mean, and you can only build so many houses, so there has to be some kind of a selection process, I would think.
Yes. Yes, there is. There is a very well-defined selection process. Our target for new homes are low-income individuals. So we are also fortunate to be able to access some funds through HUD, the U.S. Department mm-hmm. of Housing and Urban Development, and as well as the Somerset County has a homelessness trust fund, and we apply to get some funds through them as well. And so there are guidelines that both of those programs set up in terms of income based on family size. So that's one criteria. So we are targeting people who fall into what they define as low income. We also look at need. So somebody's current living situation, what that's like. So we want to certainly give priority to people who have a great need for a better place to live. And also the people's willingness where they can, if they're able to help out and participate in the building, if they don't have any physical limitations or anything mm-hmm. like that, which would preclude them getting involved, their willingness to help with the build as well as to put in what Habitat calls sweat equity. So in the case of someone who might have a limitation or a situation where they couldn't do the physical work, we're still looking for them to be involved in helping and putting in time. So for people who are able and willing to do that. So that's an important part of the process.
Yeah. The caregiver.
So it's basically just a couple guidelines and that they have to adhere to, and then, you know.
But to qualify for that low-interest mortgage, how steady does their employment have to be? They have.
How
important is that? It's not a charity, in other words. You're not giving them a home for free that they can't pay off.
That's right, Tracy. It's a 0% interest mortgage.
Right.
So, and let me – I don't think I really answered your question, Larry, in that they're – in addition to meeting those sort of broad criteria – we have a – there is a formal process that goes along with that. So we will hold – before we start our next build, we will hold an orientation session. And we publicize that in local media, online. We send flyers and information out to congregations and other social services and other housing-related organizations. And that is the first step in the process, is somebody who's interested – to come to an orientation session and learn all about it,
a caregiver,
and get the application, the paperwork, and understand the process. So we have a committee, family selection committee, who does a tremendous amount of work around that. So at those orientation sessions, the person who'd be interested would learn all about what's involved.
And a caregiver.
The paperwork is much like, Tracy, you touched on it, extending a mortgage, because Habitat is really a lender. And we are extending a 0% interest mortgage. So, yes, in order to preserve our integrity and our future, we need to be sure that someone has some steady employment and is able to afford the payments. But Jan touched on a critical point early on. I just want to reiterate that people who are now renting an apartment – are paying much more now each month than they will be paying to us with a 0% interest mortgage and the taxes that they'll pay and so forth and the utilities. They'll still have, they're going to be paying about a third less than they're paying now. So we look to them to use that additional income to, whether it's to pay off some debt that they might have amassed, whether it's to buy, medication that they haven't been able to afford, go to a doctor, go to a dentist, go to school to obtain a certification or advance your education. So the whole point is for them to become more and more independent and self-reliant. And we're able to do that with the 0% interest mortgage, as well as because the community is building the home and not a builder, we're building it very, very low cost. We also work with local suppliers who will give us give us a good deal. We get bids on everything, all the supplies. And basically most of our labor is free. So we're able to sell the home to the homeowner at a much lower rate than the fair market rate of the home. So all of those things combine to lower their monthly payment. So they're more able to afford it. The last thing we want to do is to get someone in over their heads already. So we don't want to extend the loan to someone who can't afford the home. We want them to be able to live there and feel good about living there and being able to meet their monthly payments.
If someone, just out of a scenario, okay,
sure.
Someone gets approved, all right, you build a house, they living in it, say for 2 years or 3 years, whatever, and then all of a sudden, through no fault of their own, they lost their job. And in this economy, that's not unusual. They have a layoff or, wherever they're working and moving overseas or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. What happens then?
Well, we've had that situation. In fact, we just had two very good stories, though, because the homeowners are now back to work. But we've had occasion where people would fall behind. We're able to permit that, so to speak. We are fairly liberal in that, in terms of them not losing a home. We've never had to foreclose on anyone at all in our 25 years.
And
that would be something we really would not want to have to do.
Right.
So we work one-on-one with the homeowners to understand and for them to understand, and we do everything possible to work with them and help them even find a job if we can.
So in other words, they're still staying in the house even though they've lost their job and, can't make the payments.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We'll work with them, and hopefully, of course, the idea is for them
get
to
them
become
back
current.
Work, sure.
Right. But we really are very understanding and want to do everything possible to keep them in their home.
You just asked a question that was on my mind too, Larry. I was wondering, Jan B., do you get involved in the design? Are these cookie cutter? Or are they?
No, I personally do not. I was going to add that the breadth of volunteers that are required and brought into the fold in the family of Habitat are vast. And one of our volunteer families includes the wife is the chair of our HR committee, because that's her background in human relations, and the husband and son own an architectural firm and have designed most of the homes that have been built in the Raritan Valley Habitat. And it's cookie cutter to a degree, but it's learned upon cookie cutter and improved cookie cutter. For example, we just, I think, built the first house with a basement, which previously it was considered, no, that's too extravagant and much more expensive to dig the hole a little deeper, put concrete in, and finish a basement. But it's just been found to be such an important need to be able to provide storage to put the laundry down put the mechanical systems down there. And so we try to accommodate the needs of all the families, but they are – the way that the homes are able to be affordable, too, is that they're not customized. There will be families who ask, well, can I put a little more money and do this? And, once they're in the home and they own it and, are able to afford some upgrades, they can do those themselves. But for the most part, they're pretty standard, but they are certainly not inexpensively built. They are very well built with very good materials. And just to add on the rest of the volunteer level, I think we have, I mean, Jan can speak to the board members who represent every profession out there. But we also have 8 or 9 committees.
Yes.
And each of those committees, they are totally all volunteer members, ours being the faith-based and community organizations and working with ministers and pastors and rabbis and other people throughout, and the Franklin Township Interfaith Council that we're working with now, and the Delaware Valley Interfaith Council, which does run the food pantry in Lambertville. Mm-hmm. And so we cross a lot of lines and try to help one another. But we have my husband, who's an attorney, sits on the committee for the family support. Mm-hmm. And he was family support liaison for the 50th family, mm-hmm, that, yes, just moved in, helping them learn and understand what they're going to have to do to be a responsible homeowner and contribute. And we have groups that master gardeners,
caregiver,
who come in and help us do beautiful landscaping. And again, we're working alongside the family members, the parents and the children, and it really becomes a wonderful team effort that by the time the home is finished, everyone feels that they have been such an integral part of this, and the family and relationships continue on. So it's an extremely rewarding experience. I will just share one other little architectural story that came out recently, that one of the homeowners, you can tell me what year it was that they bought the house, but the son, who I believe had lived there for 11 years,
yes,
he is now out as a volunteer working on, alongside all of us volunteers, helping to build other homes, and he's going to architecture school so that he can go out and help the future generations who are in need. So it's just, it brings chills to your spine to see and be part of these wonderful enhancing and life-changing experiences for the families.
Well, I was born in Brooklyn, so
Sorry. They
had row houses. Is that what you're building? Or what kind of houses do you build? I mean, are they like row houses? You know, if you know what a row house is.
I'm assuming you do. Yes. We look at the community in which we're building and build something that will fit in there. Generally, we've built, as I understand it, our affiliate has built single-family homes, either ranch style or two-story, four-bedroom, two-story. They're generally 3 and 4 bedroom units. That's what we've done thus far.
The first house I worked on in Lambertville is it's 2 row houses. It's a duplex.
Yes. Like thank you, Jan. Houses. Yes.
Yeah. A caregiver.
That's right. We've had duplexes, and we have duplexes, thank you, in Bernardsville as well.
Right.
But in terms of a row house, we might do that if that's what the need is. Mm-hmm. So we have to really respond to the needs of the communities in which that we serve, as well as within the municipalities and their desires and restrictions and guidelines and so forth. So it really depends. But in many cases, we've done maybe 3 or 4 duplexes,
right.
Which really, though, are two-story homes, mm-hmm, that are just happen
attached.
To be attached. right. But I did, along the line, Larry, these are not row houses, but I do want to mention that in Bridgewater, I believe it was in 2010, around there, the Raritan Valley affiliate built an eight or nine home development on one street, a cul-de-sac of all Habitat homes. Mm-hmm. And there was a large tract of land, and it worked out really well because you have homeowners here who are moving in around the same time in similar circumstances, really able to help one another and just, you know, kind of start their own community. So we've done those multi-unit, mm-hmm, types of housing.
Now, I have a question. For most of the people you serve, is this their first home, or
do you
have people who owned homes in the past?
think most of them, it's their first time they've owned a home. And that's part of it. They've never really had the opportunity and probably could never afford, given the cost of housing in this area and their income, to own a home. So were it not for this opportunity, chances are it would be a number of years anyway until they would be in a situation that they could afford a home, to own a home.
And where do you get the property for this?
Well, we look to generous municipalities and other landowners to either donate or to allow us to purchase at a nominal rate property. That is becoming more and more of an issue, particularly in New Jersey, where you have the land. It's very densely populated, and we built on so much of the land. Here in Hunterdon and Somerset counties, there is a little more available land, but it's a matter of how much does it cost. So we just need a little plot of land that we look to, and we look at one home at a time and look to generous individuals who would like to make a donation, tax-deductible donation, of a little plot parcel of land, or townships, municipalities, mm-hmm. who own some property that is sitting vacant. So we want to work with them there might be an abandoned home. We've had a lot of, with the recession, 2008 issue, right? There are a lot of people had to walk away from their homes. We have municipalities that own property that they're not collecting any taxes on that might be unsightly and, they're just abandoned properties, overgrown. That's an ideal situation for us to come in and clear that land, either rehab the home that might exist there, or build a new home and get a family in there. We also meet the affordable housing obligations and commitments of the townships, and for low-income housing, affordable housing, and build a nice and have a vibrant family living there who are paying taxes on that home.
Hmm. That's interesting. Do you get many people that will donate the property?
We've had some very good situations, yes, or townships to donate, or we'll sell for a couple thousand dollars that we will then purchase
a caregiver
land.
Wow!
And we're able to. All of that contributes to the affordability of the home.
Right, right.
But also in conjunction with this issue with finding affordable land, we are also doing, and I'll let Jan speak a little bit to this, a Brush with Kindness program.
Yeah.
Where we're rehabbing and renovating existing homes.
Yeah, it's something that Habitat International started a few years ago, and now we are trying to develop it in all of the individual habitats. And it's a program that allows many more smaller projects to be done. But we're working with the faith-based organizations and communities to identify people in need. For legal and insurance reasons, they have to own their home because we can't go into a leased or rented property and upgrade it. So it's generally senior citizens who do not have the wherewithal to be able to do upgrades either for handicap accessibility, leaky roofs, things to make homes safe, dry, and livable. And we work with the organizations to help raise money from local providers for materials. And then we bring all of the resources of the construction crews
mm-hmm.
to do the work, along with the volunteers from the community itself where the homes are. And so they can be something as small as a front porch that's falling down and they can't get into their home, or a new roof. We have done some work here in Hunterdon County with Brush with Kindness programs. So that's something that we really want the community here to be aware of, because we're able to get those going much more quickly because they're smaller and can meet an immediate need for a family.
Right. Right.
We also, I just want to mention, we just finished up a project just last week, I believe, for Safe in Hunterdon. And it's the second or third project that Raritan Valley Habitat has done to support their program, the Safe in Hunterdon program, and their facilities.
I know you wanted to speak about cars for homes.
Yes, that's another way. Yes, that's another great way the community can help out. If anyone has a car, motorcycle, boat in any kind of condition, the Habitat for Humanity International runs a Cars for Homes program. And if you either live in Hunterdon or Somerset counties or designate the donation to Raritan Valley Habitat for Humanity, we will get the proceeds of that vehicle. And it's a fabulous way to help us continue to build homes for your neighbors. Habitat will arrange for someone to come and pick up the vehicle right from your driveway. Doesn't need to be in working order. But there's really not much more involved than making a phone call. And I'll give you that number. It's 877-277-4344. And you tell them that you would, if you don't live in Hunterdon or Somerset counties, you can just tell them you would like to designate this donation to Raritan Valley Habitat for Humanity. And that's about all that's necessary. It's simple and a great way to help build affordable homes in the community.
I'm very interested in how you engage the community to become part of your organization.
A caregiver.
Getting people to volunteer is not the easiest thing in the world. And I'm speaking from experience. So I'd just be curious, you know, how you get all these people to do that. I can understand the people that you're building a house for and their families and stuff, but like the rest of the volunteers that you get, how do you engage them to come out?
Well, it's funny. We have a waiting list, actually, Larry. That's where people are so anxious. I think a large part of that is the awareness of what Habitat for Humanity is, the fact that it has a great reputation, and it's the work and the outcomes that we generate that people are excited to be involved in.
A caregiver.
So we have also a Habitat youth group, I'll mention, just so we have area high schools. We have students in high school who are really interested and have clubs, have a Habitat youth club, and work to raise money for us and also come out and build. I think the Habitat brand, the Habitat, you know, the awareness of Habitat and the great reputation that we have is a large part of that.
And it's such an important part of community life to give back. And I think the more people understand that they can really make a difference in people's lives in giving back through Habitat, they want to participate. And we also speak to all of the faith-based organizations that have mitzvah committees, mission committees for the young people as well as the young adults to participate in their communities and to give back. And we have programs such as raising monies to purchase materials for homes. We meet with youth groups within the faith-based organizations and show them how the young people can hold, whether it's car washes, bake sales, do different things to raise money to pay for a door, to pay for a front porch light, to pay for a can of paint. And then they get a little ticket that shows that that's what their donation has gone to. We also encourage people at community fairs. It's the holiday season coming up. And rather than give another nightgown to Aunt Bessie or that's not really, you know, wanted or needed, to make a donation for a box of nails or a window or lumber, then she'll receive a card from Habitat saying that a donation has been made in her honor for the holiday, for her birthday, whatever the mm-hmm. occasion, to help build a home in her community for
caregiver
people in need. So
right.
there's many different avenues and ways to be able to contribute a little or a lot. So, and I'll just make another pitch for Hunterdon County, because we really, now Somerset does have a lot more homes that we've been able to obtain sites for building. But in Hunterdon, because of the expense of the land, it makes it a little more difficult. And also, because it's a rural community, it's difficult to build habitat homes where there isn't public transportation, where they can't easily get to work. many don't have cars, some do, but it's important to be able to have it on a public transportation line or within walking distance to easy transportation or to work. So we really are trying to put an all-out effort into Hunterdon County to find the potential for buildable sites, affordable sites. So anyone who's wants to open their heart and donate a piece of land for a family in need or several families in need in Hunterdon County, it would be greatly appreciated.
I just
a caregiver.
How many families do you help find housing every year, or build houses for every year on an average?
Up to this point, we've been doing on average two per year, two new homes per year. This next 12 to 18 months, I'll say we have three homes planned, and those are going to be in Somerset County mm-hmm. in Franklin Township.
Okay. Well, we're just about out of time. You have a question? Go ahead.
Just a quick question to Janby. Those renovations, walkways and things that you do, are you counting them in your 50?
No.
Okay.
Those are additional. Yes, yeah, Tracy, okay. Those are additional. Yeah. And that's becoming more and more of an important program, as Jan indicated. So it's a way that we can help more people.
Maintaining the houses,
Right. helping more people.
Right.
And there, too, we look at need, and our focus is on low-income individuals. So,
okay. All right. If you someone wanted to get more information, what would be the best way to reach out to you, email or phone or both? Or
yes, our website is www.rv, that's for Raritan Valley, rvhabitat.org. Our phone number, our offices are located in Somerville. The phone is 908-704-0016.
And if they wanted to reach you personally, it would be extension 15, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, about
that's
that.
That's right. And
I knew that.
There you go. Thank you, Larry.
Actually, yes. I have it written down over here, but I didn't pull it out of my head.
But if I may just conclude by saying, we are the belief is our value system really is based on the fact that we believe that stable households really build stable communities. And it's in everyone's best interest in the community to help our low-income neighbors build stable households in which they can raise their children.
The caregiver.
Right.
And the dignity and the pride that come with home ownership. And we're building homes, but we're building much more than that. We're building self-reliance, strength, and stability, and that goes a long way.
Right.
People will be able to be self-reliant and independent
the caregiver.
And on into the future.
Well, we thank you both for coming. It's been a pleasure having you, and I mean that sincerely. And I just want to say to everyone, we'll be here in the same time, same station next week. But in the meantime, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And eat a lot of turkey. Which I just prefer a steak personally, but that's me. I like all the stuff that goes with it, though, the mashed potatoes and gravy and all that. But we'll be here next week. And remember, mental health does matter, folks. So keep that in mind and have a nice Thanksgiving.
A caregiver.
And thank you very much for coming, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins is...
Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
At approximately 11:45, SAPD Detective Benjamin Marconi, 50 years of age, a 20-year veteran of the department, made a traffic stop in front of police headquarters.
San Antonio Police Chief William McManus talking to reporters about the murder yesterday of Detective Benjamin Marconi.
When the suspect reached the driver's side door, he fired a gunshot toward Detective Marconi, striking him in the head. The suspect then reached in through the open window and fired a second shot, which also struck the detective in the head.
They say the manhunt is continuing and intensifying. President-elect Donald Trump back in Manhattan at Trump Tower interviewing more potential cabinet picks.